are just all courageous. But ever so often, a man or a woman in the military does something very exceptional in battle that will distinguish them from all others, where they lay their life on the line that is far above the call of duty. Congress acknowledges those efforts, and I'm sure they could never acknowledge all the efforts if we only knew, but Congress acknowledges those courageous efforts with a medal called the Medal of Honor. Have y'all heard of that? And it's a medal given to those that sacrifice themselves for the greater good of the others they are fighting with. And many, many, many times these medals are given after the person has fallen. In fact, and I looked it up, and I won't get it exactly right, and y'all can Google it before you leave, but there's a high, high percentage of those awarded that medal that did not make it back. One such individual, and I know there's story after story after story, and many of you would know some stories as well, is Douglas Albert Monroe. Petty Officer Monroe received the Medal of Honor after death because of his actions on September 27th, 1942 in World War II. There were 24 boats, they call them Higgins boats, and 500 Marines were pinned in an area of Guadalcanal. The commanding officer sent three boats ahead to try to rescue these 500 Marines that were under intense enemy fire. Officer Monroe chose himself with two other guys in his boat to pull in the shore in such a way that would block all enemy fire from the other boats coming in and out to rescue those Marines. All 500 Marines over a period of time under heavy enemy fire were rescued in that battle because of the heroic efforts of Officer Monroe. Right when almost the last few soldiers were rescued because Monroe's boat was taking all the fire, he was blocking all the fire, he was hit and killed, and the two men that were with him were also wounded deeply. He didn't make it back, but 500 men lived to tell the story and all the families that they represent because of Officer Monroe's courageous act, his leadership, his duty to God and country, and courage. He was willing to spend his life and pay the ultimate price. I've asked many people that serve in the military because I'm sure I don't have a clue. I've asked them several, many times over the years why they fight. And they said, yeah, we do fight for God and we do fight for country, but we're mostly fighting for the guy that's next to me. There's many, 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 many more stories like Officer Monroe. And we could tell them for hours. There's one very similar to it and different in some ways that happened in a little Middle Eastern country 2,000 years ago. A Savior was born and His name was Jesus. We don't know much about His childhood. We know that His dad was named Joseph. His dad was a carpenter, which meant he probably was a good furniture maker. as well. We know that Jesus was raised in Nazareth. We know a little bit about the Christmas story. We know about the Magi that came later. We know when Jesus, in a teenager of all things, he got caught misbehaving, preaching the gospel in the temple. A junior high kid. Those junior hires are always into something. Well, he had disappeared for hours and his parents didn't know where he was. And at least in my opinion, he would go on to be the hero of all heroes. He was willing to serve. He was willing to die. He was willing to sacrifice. Let me tell you what separates Christianity from all other religions in the world. Our God bleeds. His name is Jesus Christ. And he paid the ultimate price so that we could spend eternity with God someday. And we read in Isaiah 58, I gave Stephen the wrong scripture. Let me read it. Can you pull it up real quick, Stephen? That's my bad. 53 verses 4 through 7. And I will read from my scripture. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Speaking of Jesus. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Jesus was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. Jesus, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus was oppressed. Jesus was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and like a sheep that before his shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. Aren't you thankful for a Savior that paid a price that we couldn't pay? Aren't you thankful we serve a Savior? Because only death would satisfy God, a holy God. Jesus carried our sins to Calvary, and they were crucified at Calvary. He died and went to the tomb where our sins lay dead with him. And on the third day, he rose. And because he lives, we can live. Because he was willing to pay the ultimate price and suffer death on Calvary, we are saved. Can I get an amen on that? And not only that, hallelujah, it says, and by his stripes, we are healed. Because he took the enemy fire. Because he took the wrath that we deserve, the lashings on his back and his entire body. Because he took the nails that we should have took. Because he felt the pain that we should have felt. We live. Our Jesus bleeds. Our God bleeds. Our God cares. Look, if Jesus never did anything else for you, he's already done enough. And dear Lord, as we walk with him on this earth, and I hope some of you will begin a relationship with Jesus this morning, and I hope others will continue in your relationship with Christ. And of course, when we have needs, we lean in and we ask. And part of our prayer life should be interceding for others as well as asking God to meet our needs. But right now, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, he's already done enough. He suffered. Two times in Matthew, before he went to the cross, he would say, not my will, Father, but yours be done. Just as Officer Monroe endured pain and death and suffering, so did Jesus on behalf of his people. Guys, do you get that?
died for you.
Philippians 2:6 says, who though he was in the form of God did account equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Romans chapter 5, 7 and 8 says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Probably be healthy to remember more often than we do in our daily life to remember that He died for you. He died so that we could be free and have eternal salvation. And that's where it's a little different here. Officer Monroe fought for his men and gave his life for his men and fought against other men. The battle that Christ waged was much more intense and can be much more devastating. There is no life, there is no eternal life outside of Jesus Christ, according to the Scriptures. The Scripture says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's one way to heaven, and that's Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ fought the ultimate battle on the cross. When He was raised on the third day, He won the ultimate battle. Can somebody say amen to that? You know what the ultimate battle was? The power of the devil, the power of sin, and the power of death. Because the devil is still alive and well. In fact, the Scripture says that he roams to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. But because of the death and resurrection in Jesus Christ, because he was willing to pay the price for you and I. I mentioned, didn't I? He gave his life for it. It cost him his life. It cost a real man his life so that we could have life. Did you hear what I said? Are you thinking about it this morning? He died so that Satan can be defeated in your life. The enemy, the Scripture says, as Christian people, we can walk with Satan under our feet, somebody. The Scripture says, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And Satan is in the world running to and fro. But those that are blood-bought by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ have victory over the devil. And he will tempt or fight most of us before the sun sets tonight. Jesus brings the victory every time. Jesus brings the victory over darkness. Jesus brings the victory over dark places. Jesus brings the victory over disease. Jesus brings the victory over depression. Jesus is the victor. It gets better. Man, that got intense. Is that okay? I feel him in my bones. There's something worse than the devil. It's called sin. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, sin. We all were born with a sin nature according to the Scripture. Scripture in Romans says, how many have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Y'all know the Scripture, don't you? That's not very good news. Because then it goes on to say that the wages of sin is... We've all done it. We're all dying. Not if we got Jesus. Because the Scripture says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Savior. He won the sin battle. He paid the price. He took our sins. He bore our sorrows. He bore our griefs. He bore our... Do you get what I'm saying? He died so that we can have victory over sin. Not just to be forgiven and cleansed from it, but be victorious over it. But it gets better. Death is a terrible thing. All of us in this room are old enough to experience somebody that we loved, even who died tragically, unexpectedly. Or if they didn't, it's pretty tough, isn't it? Now, if you really, are y'all trekking with me today? I want you to think along with me. It's really sad and heartbreaking to lose somebody we love. It is. It's healthy to think about death. You know why it's healthy? Because we're all going to die. I tell you what, victory over the devil is one thing. Victory over sin is another thing. But because Jesus gives us victory over sin, we have victory over death too. Hallelujah! This is just a barely, it's not even a start down here. Because if you see, if you've got Jesus Christ in your life, yeah, you've got victory over the enemy while you're down here if you want it. Yes, you've got victory and forgiveness over sin down here while you want it. But someday, for the blood-bought people of Jesus Christ, for those that have asked Christ into their heart to be Lord and Savior, for those that have confessed their sins and turned their heart toward Christ, and look, you're not perfect, but in God's eyes, you become perfect through Christ. And someday, we get to see heaven. We get to see Jesus. We get to walk the streets of gold. And guess what? What a fellowship it's going to be after we worship Christ for 1,000 years. Then I can say hello to Mom and Dad and Grandpa and Grandma and all the others that have gone before us. Death's not the end. Death's not the end. Death's not the end. Not the end. It's really just the beginning. I tell you what, it's not going to get any better than that. I want to stop while I'm ahead. So thankful. But in the meantime, it's really not going to get any better than that. Now we're going downhill till we pray for each other. God's Word's always good, though, isn't it? In the meantime, He gives us the equipment and the weapons and the tools we need to fight the good fight while we're here. If you've been saved this morning, aren't you glad He saved you? But He doesn't leave anybody out. He died for everybody. Anybody can be. Anybody here this morning can be. I know in my heart there's folks here, you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as Savior. Well, you can know Him before you leave. I know there's others that are here this morning that maybe you've been away from the Lord. Who knows why, but you're away and you need to come back. Because He died for you. He bled for you. And as we have Christ and we walk with Christ, and do you find it extremely easy to be a Christian? If there's one in here that does, please let me meet with you and learn. Never said it would be easy, but boy, sure is good. It sure is good to walk with Jesus. It can be a battle, and there's more battles, dozens of battles, more battles than I could mention here this morning. Sometimes it could be easier just to go along with the world, just to live a life of sin, just to compromise, it's sometimes it can be easier. I always say that, you know, now I've been saved many, many years, but had an early, pretty crazy young adulthood, as some of you know. And I tell you, even a tough day with Jesus is better than a good day without Him. In fact, I'd just rather have tough days the rest of my life as long as I can have Him. But I am glad He equips us for battle while we're here, because it is a battle. There's ways we fight. 2 Corinthians 10 says this, and Bethany preached from this scripture Wednesday night, and she did so very well. Should have been there. She thought she was going to get out of school and just be a teacher, and now she's back in school and teaching, but also back in school for herself, studying for the ministry and to be a credentialed minister. And the girl can preach and sing. You got it all, girl. Let's give her a hand. Oh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We're not just in a physical battle, church. We're in a spiritual battle. We're fighting the demonic in the heavenly. Read with me in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13 real quick. And this is an exhortation from the Word of God to you this morning. Finally. Say, finally. Sometimes it's like, finally. I mean, finally. I think it's more like this. Finally. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness. Boy, it is a present darkness, isn't it, that we live in sometimes. Against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the day. How about me reread that? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Amen. You know when that day is? Almost every day sometimes. I mean, sometimes maybe you get a free pass for a week without temptation or without a struggle or without the pressures of this world. Maybe you do, But that day will come, that moment comes when it seems like all hell breaks loose, temptation comes, or something's going on in your family that doesn't need to be going on in your family. All those things, varieties of battles that we fight, we've got to put on the whole armor, y'all. And he goes on to describe the whole armor, but I'll touch it. You've got to put on the belt of truth. When the battle's on, you've got to stand and stand firm in the truth of God's Word. When it seems like it doesn't look like it's going to turn out the way you think it's going to, stand on the Word of God. Buckle on the belt of truth. Somebody, come on. And then the breastplate of righteousness that you put on, oh, you haven't been that good this week. And the enemy, when you haven't been as good as you should have been, the enemy will remind you. You make a mistake, the enemy will remind you. It sounds like y'all been there. You remind him who you belong to. You put on the full armor and said, you know, all of my righteousness is as filthy rags, but I'm wearing the breastplate of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm covered by the righteousness supplied by God who bled and died and rose for me. Devil, I'm not your man. Y'all didn't know I was a nacho man, did you? I know, Ned. Couldn't help myself. Ned's going. Feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel. Why is that a piece of armor? Why do we need that when we're in battle? I'll tell you why. Because when you're testifying about who Jesus Christ is, and you're testifying about what He's done in your life, and you're sharing the love of Jesus Christ, and the peace of Jesus Christ, and the joy of Jesus Christ, and you're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and what He's done in your life, I'm telling you, the enemy will run miles from you. It works. He died for you. Belt of truth works. That blessed prayer. So I'm having a hard time saying that. Blessed plate. Bleep, bleep, bleep. Breastplate. Shield of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. I know we'd like to walk by sight. Come on. Because when you can't see, you get a little down sometimes. Then we are reminded it's a faith walk. And again, when you're a little down, the old enemy starts shooting those flaming arrows. That's in Ephesians 6, 2. Oh, you thought it was going to turn out this way. It didn't. Oh, yeah, God had a plan for your life. Right. Oh, you ended up this way. What do you think that's all about? Oh, you're never going to make it. You'll never be a leader. You'll never be no good. You'll never be this. You'll never be that. And all of a sudden, that shield of faith, I said, you know what? Bang! My faith is not in me. My faith is in Christ. My mind is not set on the things of the flesh. My mind is set on the things of the Spirit. Some trust in horses and chariots, but I will trust in the name of my God. You can shoot this arrow and this arrow and this arrow and this arrow, but my faith is in Him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loves me then. He loves me now. He loves me forever. Whoa, 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 whoa. My faith is in Christ. He goes, you're sinking, boy. You're sinking, boy. You're sinking, boy. And I go, whoop, 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 whoop. You're sinking, boy. You're sinking, boy. In the name of Jesus. No, He has a future for my life. No, He has a plan for my life. No, He hasn't given up on me. No, He hasn't given up on my children. Hallelujah. Did you remember this morning He died for you? So that all of this becomes a reality? He didn't leave us down here to... What's the word I'm looking for? Struggle and wallow? Powerless? And after all, I have the heaven of salvation. I'm secure in the grace of Jesus Christ. He saves me. I may be getting beat up right now, but I still got the helmet on. Listen, I may be getting hit in the head right now by the world and the enemy and all the things that, you know what I mean about headshots, right? The headshots are coming. That's the Dale Gray translation. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulations. Headshots are coming. But Jesus said, take heart. I've overcome the world. And guess what? I may get hit in the head, but I got the helmet on. Because He gave His life for me. And then the sword of the Spirit kind of goes along the belt of truth. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians says, you can read the whole chapter later. It's a marvelous chapter. Putting on the full armor combined with a relationship with Christ. Steady diet of God's Word. A steady diet of prayer and devotion. Not because you have to, but because you want to. Not to go through the motions, but to walk with Jesus. And He will empower you. And I might add this. Daily repentance. Because you're going to make mistakes and you're going to stumble. This is so encouraging. You're going to sin again. Because anything you do in the flesh, according to Scripture, is sin. Check it out. That's why I practice daily confession and daily repentance. Because I'm not perfect. I'm not complete. And I need cleansing and forgiveness on a regular basis. Yeah. I need to turn from my mistakes on a regular basis. But the most important part of repentance is who you turn to. And I know when I'm walking in repentance and confession, y'all got tired of me saying this, but I practice confession every day because I need to. But when you turn from your mistakes called sin, and look toward your Savior called Jesus, He changes everything. And it's a weapon. Because the enemy wants to keep us down when we sin. But when we practice repentance and confession, there is no sin that can separate you from the love of Jesus. Romans chapter 8. So practice it. I really always have a lot of questions for folks that don't. Because it's almost if we don't, we feel like we don't need it. And yet if we pause for 15 seconds, we realize we do need to. But mostly here's what we realize when it's from our heart. Is He died for me. Wouldn't you do anything for somebody that died for you? Including live for Him. There's a story of a soldier in a Korean War. Again, he and his men... I don't know how many men were there, but intense enemy fire. And one of the comrades, about 50 yards away from the main group, was shot. He falls in the trench. He's yelling for help. Medic! Medic! Help! I'm hit! help. The men are hunkered down in their bunker, not knowing what to do. Grenades, constant gunfire. All of them in that trench, which were several dozen, knew that to try to make their way 50 yards away to get that man and 50 yards back would be certain death. There was no way. This conversation went on for about 2 hours under constant fire. The group began to notice there was a man that was every few minutes looking at his watch. In fact, he did it every 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 minutes, and they didn't understand why it was happening. All of a sudden, the man looked at his watch, and he jumped out of the trench, and he went to the rescue for that man. He reaches the man under heavy artillery fire, grenades going off, and somehow dragged him back, himself and the man, back to the trench, alive. The man would go on to live that he rescued after the sniper fire had died down because cover had come from the air. Several men gathered around the guy that rescued the other guy and said, you know, told him how courageous he was, but they said, we noticed many times you were looking at your watch and then all of a sudden you looked at it and took off running. To which he responded, and I quote, my mom said every day at the exact same time she would be praying for me. And according to my watch, I left the foxhole exactly when mama started praying. Hallelujah. It works. For God bleeds, his name is Jesus. He paid the ultimate price so that we could have life, eternal life. And life abundantly here. Stand with me, Lord.